Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's about time. Amen.
Let's go talk about the book we all read.
Books, you know they're dangerous.
Take a look, it's in a book.
So many books, so little time.
This is Amen, Wretched Radio, thrilled to pieces, amen, to finally announce, amen, it is here.
Why do you keep amening?
I'm sorry, what?
Why do you keep saying amen?
Have I been saying amen a lot?
A little bit.
Huh. Oh, I know what happened. I watched an episode of Joseph Prince, amen. Wow, does he amen a lot. It's his It's his placeholder. It's his whatever little tick that you use to find your way. By the way, I've noticed a tick and I use it too. You maybe do also. You can run parallel thoughts in your brain. You can be speaking and kind of getting your mental act together. And we do that sometimes with lists. When you just need a little time. For instance, if I said, yeah, I'm going to set up camp here. That would be enough for you to understand exactly what I'm talking about. I'm going to build a fire. And I'm going to make sure that the tent has a pad underneath it. In other words, I start giving a bunch of details about the camp that are unnecessary. So why do I list them? Because it gives me the mental time to figure out what's coming next. Amen. Don't know why. Turned on the TV and there was Joseph Prince, who, by the way, this is really quite interesting. I suspect, now I didn't go take a look at their numbers. I didn't get into their financial statement, but I suspect the line item for hair care products exceeds Fortis Institute's entire budget. That's all I'm saying here. Furthermore, by the way, Jimmy, looks like you got a haircut and you trimmed that beard of yours. You were looking like a mountain man.
Yeah, I did. I finally did.
Mrs. Hicks said that's enough.
Well, she didn't say that's enough, but she said thank you so much after I did it.
There it is.
That's right, so I can tell.
I'm going to be getting one of these days as soon as I can get to a barber, which won't cost nearly as much as Joseph Prince hairstylist. You see, some of us have barbers, and that's the way it should be. If you're a man and you're going to a hairstylist, you need to rethink some things. You need to start going to a barber and let him cut your hair, not style your hair. And if you're by that, you'd say, I don't know the difference. Here it is. If when they're done cutting your hair, they say, would you like me to use some product? Just get out. Just tear that thing off, that robe, and get out the door as fast as you can and find yourself a barber pole and get your hair cut where they'll drop a comb on the floor and just keep on using it. That's the way a man gets his hair cut. Joseph Prince spends a lot of time getting manicures, getting his hair cut, and getting his face lifted, amen, so that he can become fabulously wealthy. You say, well, that's kind of impugning the man's integrity. No, that's rightly identifying an individual who is a false teacher. This is a man who is confused and who is misleading people for the sake of wealth. He's a word faith preacher. He's a prosperity preacher. And if and you still are reticent, I say reticent, to judge anybody, please consider the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 23. Please read it. In fact, I'll give you a little challenge. You're looking for something to read in the Bible so that it kind of engages you. Well, here's a couple of challenges where you can run parallel thoughts as you're reading through it. Ask yourself the question in Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus is woeing the Pharisees, was that judgmental? Was he judging people? And the answer is absolutely. But simultaneously, ask yourself the question, what was his tone? That's always difficult to assess because reading the printed word, unless the author says, he was saying it like this, you're on a bit of shaky ground. Nevertheless, I do think that the text itself reveals the heart of Jesus in woeing the Pharisees. It wasn't a gleeful woeing. It was a brokenhearted woeing. Because these false teachers, I'm telling you, I can't say this on totally solid biblical grounds, but when you consider how hot hell is going to be for some versus others, because there will be different temperatures in hell. There will be some cottages that are closer to the lake of sulfur than others. Who's going to get the hothouse? And the answer, I think, is false teachers. You can't read Matthew 23 without recognizing God really hates hypocrisy, false teachers, and systems that put a yoke on people's back. And that describes Joseph Prince. So I'm watching him to kind of see, where's he at these days? And I think, Jimmy, when you look this up, Joseph Prince, I think he's 60. And he basically looks like he's about 12. Because he's probably got one of those baby faces anyway, but he just got it pulled back so tightly that he looks like he's about 12. And I couldn't help but notice he's into a new bag. A number of years ago, this is going to sound like a discursus that is going way far away, but a number of years ago, I remember talking to Dr. John MacArthur, from whom we will hear in a moment, and I asked him about a gospel presentation that I saw and heard Benny Hinn give. It was magnificent. It was loaded with the covenant and the blood, propitiation. I mean, he was just, it's like, whoa. That was amazing. And I said to Dr. MacArthur, what was that? How do you harmonize Benny Hinn being one of the chief prosperity preachers and a good gospel presentation? And very few sentences stick with you for life. This one did. Dr. MacArthur said, it's just his shtick. Oh, man, Scylla. And I recall Joseph Prince, the last time I had checked in on him, he actually looked older then than he does today. The hair was still amazing, but he just keeps getting younger and younger. And a number of years ago, he was hyper-gracing. At least he was tiptoeing near it, if not crossing the line. It was all about the grace, the groovy, groovy grace, and about forgiveness. And it wasn't all wrong, but it was his shtick. And I noticed that his current shtick is, get ready for this, biblical counseling. He's discovered it is clear. He even used the term root and fruit. And it's clear to me that Joseph Prince has stumbled into another shtick. And on the one hand, I would say, well, he made a good choice because he recognizes that people are hurting and that they're depressed and anxious and fearful and lonely. He's no dodo. In fact, I think he's actually a pretty smart guy. I don't know how well he knows his biblical languages, but he's more than a little acquainted with them. And he knows enough to see what the needs of people are and address them, which, as another discursus, this is why the seeker-sensitive movement should agitate us, because they've robbed us of something called, get ready for this, felt needs. You hear that word, I hear that word, and it's like, whoa, oh no, you don't. We're not seeker-sensitive. We don't address felt needs. We should, because people have them. Now, you don't elevate it to the level of the gospel. Nevertheless, we should identify that people are struggling with something and preach the word to help them with it. Joseph Prince, he's onto that. And so he's littered his sermons with biblical language lingo. And I will say this, amen. It was a total dog's breakfast, amen. It was all over the place and ultimately unhelpful. And then they go to the glitzy commercials to sell you his book and resources, et cetera. And it broke my heart because a lot of people follow this guy, especially in light of a new book. That's right. We're actually getting to the premise of this segment. A new book, Dr. Greg Gifford's new book, it is here. And guess what it deals with? The mind versus the brain, your emotions, what to do when you or a loved one is diagnosed with a mental health disorder. What about psychotropics? It is here. Lies My Therapist Told Me Okay, when I say it's here, you can pre-order it. And I would like to encourage you to do that. Would you please, please consider getting this book? It's a big one. It's hardcover. It's a glorious work. And it's a magnificent read. I drink this stuff in. And you are going to see the power of the Bible when it comes to overcoming so many of our emotional issues. No, all of our emotional issues. And it's an important book. And it's a book that if your pastor isn't willing to read it, you should. Whether you have a family member who is struggling with ADHD, whatever the emotional moniker that they have been given, get this book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, and here's what'll happen. This is kind of strategic. It will help more people see this book. It's sort of like YouTube. The more people like a YouTube video, the more people they show it to. The more people who pre-order this book, the more are going to ultimately get it. So please visit fortisinstitute.org/lies. fortisinstitute.org/lies and get Dr. Greg Gifford's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. And we will take a sneak peek inside of its covers, particularly pertaining to psychotropics. How old is the Joseph Prince, Jimmy?
61.
This is is Wretched Radio.
You might not see them, but the world keeps handing you chains. Chains of fear, chains of people-pleasing, chains of self-love disguised as confidence. And on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, she's cutting through the lies. This is intelligent talk radio for women because real freedom doesn't come from looking inside yourself. It comes from looking up to Christ. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Someone you love is grieving. You want to help, but what do you say? This Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, it's a Fortis Institute webinar with Fortis Institute fellow Tim Challies. Because mourning those who mourn isn't just about showing up. It's about knowing how to bring real biblical comfort in the hardest moments. You can register now at fortisinstitute.org/webinar. That's fortisinstitute.org/webinar. Because at some point, someone in your life will need you. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. If you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. Join us at fortisinstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Friend of Sinners. While we were dead in our sins and condemned as enemies,
Jesus bore our sins in himself so we could be reconciled to the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Story time. Stories time. Story times. We got a lot of them is what I'm trying to say. This is Wretched Radio. It's dropped. Dr. Greg Gifford's book, it can be pre-ordered now. Encourage you to consider pre-ordering it now. FortisInstitute.org/lies, because it will bless your family, especially if you or a loved one has been diagnosed. For instance, your kid has been diagnosed with ADHD. What do you do with that? Let me just share with you a line from Greg Gifford's book. Should a parent help their child get medication for ADHD? You'll just have to read his response when you pre-order the book at FortisInstitute.org/lies. He deals with Adderall, for instance, and believe me, he's balanced. He doesn't have an ironclad. Never, ever can you take advantage of some of these medications that might help you to deal with the symptoms so that you can get to the root issue and actually deal with it. And he goes to great lengths to walk you through it, to help you chart a course, to help your kid who maybe just has a serious condition of ants in their pants, like most of us had, frankly. Please consider getting this book. Mega important. Lies My Therapist Told Me. FortisInstitute.org/lies. Let me share with you a number of stories that helps support the thesis of this book, at least this particular chapter that we've been sharing. No psychotropic will ever cure the issues of your immaterial mind. You can take a pill till you die and it ain't going to fix you. It's just not. It's going to treat your symptom. That's what psychotropics do at best. And we don't even know the process. Oh, how much trust do we have in these people? And some of it is well-earned in some quarters, but just consider we put this thing in our mouth and swallow it, and we've never even been tested for it. They don't even know why these things do what they do. And that's why when you watch these commercials, you hear a laundry list, and you may also experience suicidal ideations. You may want to start murdering people. You'll start to feel like you, what? These supposed side effects? Is it a side effect? Or is it possibly that's what they do? And the answer to that question is they don't know, because they simply can't figure out what they do once they get inside of you. Greg deals with that also in Lies My Therapist Told Me. Story time. Imagine you had severe dental pain, your jaw throbbing, you got headaches, even breathing brought severe pain. So if you were in this situation, Tylenol would not be the answer or the cure to your problem, but Tylenol would help you to get to a point where you could deal with your problem, which is most likely some infection in your tooth. You see where this is going? Could you possibly use psychotropics so you can get to the dentist? I mixed my metaphors, but the answer is you could. And he walks through the God-honoring ways you can consider that, which is super, super helpful. That you're not, for instance, going to a pill to be your savior. You've already got that. You're not going to medication to be your comfort. You've already got that in the person of Jesus Christ. Can you use that medication potentially? Yeah, with a lot of counsel, a lot of wisdom, and with God-honoring motives. Similarly, writes Gifford, a psychotropic is not going to fix a problem in your mind. Simply won't. The psychotropic will potentially alleviate symptoms so you can focus on the deeper issues of your mind. So it's possible to use the psychotropic to help focus on the true problem, which is the mind. Then wean off the psychotropic medication. That's just really mature, especially for a whippersnapper like Gifford. Is he? He's just like, did he even hit 30 yet? Because he looks younger than Joseph Prince at the age of 61. It is not a sin to take psychotropics, writes Gifford, but psychotropics are not treating the real issue. They're like Tylenol, a symptom relief that sometimes can even mask the real issues. Example, if you were to meet a man who was considering using antidepressants because he had lost interest in daily activities, losing weight, not sleeping, struggling with motivation, antidepressants would seem like a pretty normal treatment. Ask yourself the question, if you were presented with a fellow like that, what would you counsel? What would you say? Where would you send him? Maybe, just maybe, a little digging might reveal the source of this gentleman's problem. And what a tragedy it would be if we didn't dig deep into the heart of the issue to reveal what might be going on behind closed doors, which might be producing the fruit of somebody who isn't sleeping and losing weight and has lost interest in activities. Maybe there's more going on. Gifford, as you spoke with him, you found out he was secretly engaging in sexual sin, specifically pornography. He feels hypocritical, fake, and condemned, unable to approach God. But he also isn't finding any other balm for his guilty, fearful conscience. Well, could it be that a rush to give a prescription to a man who is immersed in pornography would be to perhaps dull his senses, but it certainly isn't going to, it's not going to stop looking at porn. And frankly, he won't feel any better. He can't feel any better. Why? Because David didn't feel any better. When you've got unconfessed sin, it's going to just eat away at your bones. You're going to ache in the inner, everything is off. That's what sin does. Psychotropics don't deal with sin. And what a basic analogy. What a good illustration to show giving this guy a pill and he's still looking at filth? That makes no sense at all. Back to Gifford. Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. You cannot expect a person to feel well while hiding personal sin. Insomnia, depressed mood, loss of integrity in daily activities, weight loss can all result from harboring secret sin. David said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. So what would antidepressants do for this guy? They'd simply mask the symptoms of the real problem of unrepentant sin. Please note, and Greg addresses this, not all sadness, depression, lack of motivation is because of unconfessed sin. You can't say that. Some depression comes from personal sin. And that means in those instances, taking antidepressants ain't going to do nothing for you. Here's another story from Greg Gifford's book. A man was being unfaithful to his wife. This is from a counseling case. Neither his wife nor I knew about it at the time, but they came to me for counseling because their marriage was not going well. He said he was depressed and had actually been prescribed antidepressants. Isn't that staggering? It's just amazing. It's clear the source of the, if you're, I can't speak for you ladies, but I think it's true, but I suspect it's heightened in men. And maybe you don't believe this because it doesn't look like it, madam. But when we're not getting along with you, we're miserable. We're just, it's all out of joint. Nothing is quite click. It's just broken and it feels like we just. Ugh. So let's say that that continues. You're feeling that I'm out of joint because, you know, you're having an ongoing affair. You go to a doc who says, well, here you go. Here's your prescription. Take this. And the dude's going to keep having an affair? I mean, that even a secularist might go, maybe the source of his problem isn't chemical. Maybe it's moral and behavioral. And the secularists never look at that. So this dude who is having an ongoing affair is given a script from a doctor and nobody knew about his escapades? Woo! Quote, even after months of counseling and using his antidepressants, there was no change until we found out he was cheating on his wife. A friend of the wife caught him visiting his mistress and told the wife about it. Why did his feelings of depression not go away? Let's ponder. After this, he repented of this sinful relationship and saw God begin to restore his marriage in beautiful ways. No prescription necessary. Now, every situation has complexities and differences, and we want to be careful that we're not making a proclamation for every single instance of somebody feeling depressed or sad. As I mentioned, Greg Gifford is well-balanced in his book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. He does address the possibility of, but as a rule, overwhelmingly, it's junk. It's not needed. It's not helping. In fact, it's probably making it worse because you probably exchange one bag of blues for another. That numb, dull sensation that comes from psychotropics. Please consider pre-ordering this book if you would be so kind. Lies My Therapist Told Me. You can do that, say, now at FortisInstitute.org/lies. Congratulations, Greg. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.